We're continuing in a series of sermons, as I mentioned at the welcome today, that we're talking about being swept up into God's larger story. The sermon series theme has been, "For unto us a child is born." And the first Sunday of Advent, we considered a teenager's trust. The second Sunday, we looked at a carpenter's courage. The last week, we look at a scholar's hope. And then today, we're going to be looking at a shepherd's surprise. As we look to the Lord and seek to understand more about this passage of Scripture we've read together, let's turn to Him in prayer and ask for His illuminating Spirit to help us. Dear Father in heaven, as we think about this passage of Scripture and these truths that we're trying to discover regarding the birth of Christ and the miracle of the Incarnation, we ask that You would be present with us over the electronic airwaves and here right in this worship center as well. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence in our lives, and that whenever we submit ourselves to You, You are eager to come and to be with us, to dwell with us, to remain with us, and to hold the light and as we turn the page so that we can see more clearly the truth of Scripture. And so we look to You, Lord, and pray that You would bless us as we study today. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the biggest surprise that you've ever experienced at Christmas? Was it an unexpected gift, or perhaps the visit of a child who came home for the holidays you had no idea they were coming? Or maybe it was a Christmas bonus that came from your boss and was completely out of the blue. The biggest surprise I ever experienced at Christmas was the birth of my youngest son, David, in December of 1987. It wasn't that his birth was unexpected, duh, we've been waiting for nearly 9 months. The surprise was that he came 3 weeks early, when both of his brothers, his older brothers, had arrived late, 2 weeks after their due date. David came so early that I was even out of town and wasn't able to get to the hospital until after he was born. You see, the doctor had told Lori that she wasn't even close to delivering. I would be fine in going on a short church-related business trip out of town for the weekend. But doctors don't always know, do they? David's arrival was a surprise to us all, and what a wonderful surprise it was for that Christmas. From then on, Lori did like to tease me that she did not even need me to deliver a baby. The shepherds in the story of Jesus' birth experienced their own Christmas surprise. We read about it in Luke chapter 2. And as we consider the shepherd's surprise this morning, I want you to think about a surprising announcement, a reaction of fear, and a response of praise. First, let's think about a surprising announcement. People have come up with very creative ways to announce the birth of a baby these days, and usually a couple will send out a card to friends and to family, or perhaps post something on social media that has a picture of the baby and maybe the parent's name, and it includes their date of birth and the length, perhaps, of the child. Little details like that. A couple of announcements that I recently saw I thought were very cute. This one here is Casper Bear, born on March the 1st. They have all kinds of things that are describing who he is, how much he weighed, how long he was, 10 fingers, 10 toes. I especially like this one, Little King, Oliver James, born August the 21st, 2020. Now imagine that you don't know the story of Christmas, and I told you that God wanted to announce the birth of the Messiah, His son, who was the new king of the Jews, to the world. Who would you announce it to? Who would you send that great proclamation to? Who would make the cut? People who were politically powerful in the world, people like Caesar or Herod? Maybe the religious elite, like the Jewish high priest or the Sanhedrin, or folks maybe even in the synagogue? Or perhaps maybe the mayor of Bethlehem. "Organize a prayer parade, Mr. Mayor. I've got some good news to share." All of these people might be logical recipients of God's birth announcement to the world. However, as you know, The news isn't sent to the palace. The temple doesn't hear. And most of the people in Bethlehem slept the night away. The announcement of the birth of Jesus was sent to a group of anonymous sheepherders who were on the outskirts of Bethlehem, out in the night, watching their flocks. We might picture them in our mind's eye with their shepherd's crooks and their flowing robes. We might imagine them because of the nativity sets that we have, of the art that we have seen, or the Christmas pageants that we have watched. But do they really belong at the birthplace of a king? The world at the time of Jesus would have said, no way, not in a million years. And the reason is, in the ancient world, shepherds were considered outcasts. They were religious outcasts because, according to Jewish law, shepherds were considered unclean. They were unacceptable because of the nature of their work. Living out in the fields, they weren't able to keep the Jewish ceremonial laws of cleanliness, and their work with sheep defiled them. And as a result, they couldn't gather with the people of God in worship at the synagogue or meet with folks in the temple. And in addition, their work was a kind of 24/7 job, which prevented them from participating in the Jewish festivals and the high holy days that were so central to the Jewish religious calendar. A modern-day equivalent might be a truck driver or a shift worker or an ICU nurse whose occupation prevents them from being able to attend worship on a regular basis. Not only were the shepherds religious outcasts, they were social outcasts too. Shepherds were constantly on the move to find new pasture for their flocks, and as a result, they were looked on with suspicion as shifty nomads. They didn't mind grazing their sheep on your property. And back in the first century, people looked at shepherds like we might look at carnival workers or gypsies today. People thought of them as shady characters, and shepherds were often accused of being thieves. If something went missing, people naturally thought it must have been those shepherds. They had a reputation of confusing thine with mine. And shepherds weren't even allowed to give testimony in a legal proceeding because their word was not considered trustworthy. On top of all this, shepherds slept outside under the stars, often in the sheep pen, in order to guard their animals from predators and from thieves. And the result was that the shepherds didn't exactly smell like fresh holly and Christmas cookies. So by profession, and by their religious and cultural status, shepherds were considered outsiders. They lived near the bottom of the social ladder. Do you see why it is surprising that God would announce Jesus' birth to shepherds and that they would be the ones who would be invited to come to the crib of the newborn king? So why in the world did God send his shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus? Everyone in the local synagogue had told them they weren't welcome. They didn't belong. That God didn't care about their smelly existence. But the fact of the matter is that God did care. And surprisingly, he invited them to Jesus' birthday party. And this reminds us that God cares about people who feel like outcasts in the world today. You see, no one is too messy for the Lord, and no one is too far from the reach of God's love. And you don't have to clean yourself up before you come to God. He loves you as you are, and he'll meet you wherever you may be. And that is the surprising thing about the love of God and the surprising announcement to the shepherds. A surprising announcement. The second thing I want to talk about has to do with a reaction of fear. Sometimes when we're surprised, our reaction is to be afraid. Can you think of a time when you were surprised and it frightened you? My friend Jim Singleton likes to scare people by jumping out from behind a hiding place and then shout, "Boo!" He loves to do this. Once when we were attending a conference together in Atlanta, we decided to room together in the same hotel room. And he arrived before I did and checked into the hotel. And he decided to take a shower to clean up from the day of travel. Well, as he was toweling off in the bathroom, he heard the door open to the hotel room, and he assumed that it was me arriving. And so he jumped out of the bathroom, wrapped only in a towel, with his large, white, pasty body, and yelled, "Boo!" I wish you and I could have seen the eyes of the bellhop who was delivering towels to the room. He looked at Jim, and his eyes got as big as saucers, and he yelled, "Don't do that ever again!" Thought the guy was going to have a heart attack. When I finally arrived at the hotel about 15 minutes later, Jim was still rolling on the bed, laughing about what had just happened. Fear is sometimes a natural reaction when we're surprised. And the shepherds had that reaction when they were surprised by the angel that first Christmas. Have you ever experienced have you ever noticed that whenever an angel shows up in the Bible, they tend to say, "Fear not"? It happened when Gabriel appeared to Mary. It happened when the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream. It also happened when an angel appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist, and it happened right here in this passage with the shepherds. Throughout the story of the birth of Jesus, right and left, we hear angels saying, "Fear not." Now, why in the world would these angels say, "Fear not," unless the primary reaction to someone encountering an angel of the Lord would be fear? What fears are you battling this Christmas? In what ways are you fearful this year? Perhaps it's a fear of failure or a fear of abandonment. Maybe you have a fear that a child is going down the wrong path. Maybe you're afraid that you or someone you love is going to catch COVID-19. Perhaps you're fearful that if you really give your life over to Jesus, that he's going to take you in a direction that you don't want to go, and you're afraid to trust him. Whenever God shows up, our natural reaction is often fear. We assume that things are going to change. And usually they do when God shows up. Life is never the same again. However, notice that God brought words of comfort and reassurance to these shepherds to calm their fears and to bring hope to their hearts. And they discovered that they were being asked to step out with courageous faith, to trust God, and to do as he asked them to do. Is God asking you to trust him with something this Christmas? Did you know that 365 times in the Bible we read the words "fear not"? That's one for every day of the year. Hear the Lord when he says to you today, "Fear not." Well, a surprising announcement, a reaction of fear. The third and final matter I want to talk about today has to do with a response of praise. The shepherds did as the angel encouraged them, and they traveled to Bethlehem and found the baby, just as they had been told, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. And the Bible tells us that the shepherds responded in faith to the angel's announcement. They seized the opportunity to go and see for themselves the amazing events that they had been told about that night. They could have written off the experience as an illusion. They could have said it was the result of some bad wine that they had to drink. They could have complained about fatigue and reasoned that they really needed to get a good night's sleep because of the day ahead. But instead, they responded in faith, and they went to Bethlehem at once. And their faith led them to drop what they were doing, and it would change their lives forever, this experience that they had. How might God be calling you to drop the excuses and to drop what you're doing in order to respond in faith to the Lord this Christmas? The shepherds not only responded in faith, they also responded with witness. Our passage says that they told everyone that they met about the amazing things that had happened to them that night. When you've got good news to share, It's really hard to just keep it to yourself. When my oldest son, Nate, was very young, he and my first wife, Lori, who passed away a few years ago, went shopping for me at Christmas. And they had just finished their trip, and one of the things that they had purchased was a new pair of tennis shoes that I really wanted for Christmas. And so as they drove up the driveway, Lori turned to Nate and said to him, "Now, honey, don't tell Daddy what we bought him for Christmas. It is a secret." He nodded his head in agreement. And as they walked into the house, I knew that they'd been shopping for a present for me, and I said out loud, "Well, I wonder what you've gotten me for Christmas." And Nate tried to hold it in with all of his might, but then he burst out and said, "Shoes!" When you've got good news to share, you can't keep it in. And so these shepherds responded with witness to tell the good news of what God had done for them in allowing them to see the birth of the Messiah. And finally, the shepherds responded with praise. And the text tells us that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Praise is the only appropriate response when we are apprehended by the love of God and see Him do amazing things in our lives. Is praise a mark of your Christmas celebration here during this pandemic? Or are you grumping around, complaining like Scrooge, bah humbug, because of the stress and anxiety of all that we're having to deal with COVID-19? Take time to praise God today for His gifts. And glory in the miracle of the incarnation as if you were experiencing it for the very first time. Did you ever notice that as the biblical record of the birth of Jesus unfolds in the pages of Scripture, everyone who ended up or ended their journey at the manger did so on their knees? Each person felt an emotion of awe and wonder. God, who is the creator of the universe, the one who made everything that is seen and unseen, identified in love with our humanity through the birth of this helpless little baby. He entered into history to reach you and me, finally and fully. And if the meaning of Christmas is ever to be truly understood, it must be received with wonder and praise. And the only adequate response is on our knees. I've always been struck by the fact that the angels appeared to the shepherds when they were just doing their jobs. It wasn't like Isaiah when he was in the temple in worship when the Lord appeared to him. It wasn't like on the day of Pentecost when the disciples were gathered in the upper room together in prayer and the Holy Spirit came upon them. No, this is different. The shepherds are simply out in the fields watching their flocks at night out under the stars. There was nothing special about that night. It was just an ordinary evening as far as they knew. But God broke in and He put an extra on the front of their ordinary night, and their lives were never the same again. How does God want to show up in the ordinary things of your life this Christmas? Did you know that the Bible talks about sheep more than any other animal? It talks about cattle 131 times. It talks about dogs 41 times. It talks about eagles 26 times. Do you know how many times the Bible mentions cats? Zero. Just saying. But sheep and shepherds are in the Bible about 500 times, including right here in our passage today. Later, when Jesus was a grown man, He was called the Good Shepherd. I wonder if Mary and Joseph told Jesus the story of His birth and about the visit of the shepherds. I wonder if the amazing events of that night helped to influence how He saw Himself, how He thought about His ministry. Jesus certainly knew the history of David, the great king of Israel, and that in David, God made a shepherd into a king. But in Jesus, God made a king into a shepherd who would later become a sacrificial lamb. And it is the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary that reveals the greatest surprise of them all. Thanks be to God for his surprising love in Jesus Christ this Christmas and always. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would surprise each person listening to me today, this Christmas, that you would break into our lives, our ordinary days, and show up in a special way. Help us to be attentive to the voice of your angels who may want to be calling out to us. Help us to be sensitive to the nudges of your Holy Spirit that may prompt us to go and see and do. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to be swept up into your larger story. And as we behold your work in our lives and in the world, we are also invited to join you on your mission of love and to witness to others about the good things you have done for us, just like these shepherds. May we, like them, go forward through the rest of this Advent and Christmas season in thanksgiving, in awe, in wonder, and in praise. And we'll thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.